puppet-lined mouth and shiver with middle-aged satisfaction. Yes, my hair is gray and thinning. Yes, the washer on my penis has worn out, leaving me to dribble urine long after I've zipped my trousers back up. But I have two guest rooms. The consequence is that if you live in Europe, they attract guests, lots of them. People spend a fortune on their plane tickets from the United States. By the time they arrive, they're broke and tired and would probably sleep in our car if we offered it. In Normandy, where we used to have a country place, any visitors were put up in the attic, which doubled as Hugh's studio and smelled of oil paint and decaying mice. It had a rustic cathedral ceiling but no heat, meaning it was usually either too cold or too hot. That house had only one bathroom, wedged between the kitchen and our bedroom. Guests were denied the privacy a person sometimes needs on the toilet, so twice a day I'd take Hugh to the front door and shout behind us, as if this were normal behavior, "We're going out for exactly 20 minutes. Does anyone need anything from the side of the road?" That was another problem with Normandy. There was nothing for our company to do except sit around. Our village had no businesses in it, and the walk to the nearest village that did was not terribly pleasant. This is not to say that our visitors didn't enjoy themselves, just that it took a certain kind of person, outdoorsy and self-motivating. In West Sussex, where we currently live, having company is a bit easier. Within a 10-mile radius of our house, there's a quaint little town with a castle in it, and an equally charming one with 37 antique stores. There are chalk-speckled hills one can hike up, and bike trails. It's a 15-minute drive to the beach and an easy walk to the nearest pub. Guests usually take the train from London, and before we pick them up at the station, I remind Hugh that for the duration of their visit, he and I will be playing the role of a perfect couple. This means no bickering and no contradicting each other. If I am seated at the kitchen table and he is standing behind me, he is to place a hand on my shoulder, right on the spot where a parrot would perch if I were a pirate instead of the ideal boyfriend. When I tell a story he has heard so often he could lip-sync it, he is to pretend to be hearing it for the first time and to be appreciating it as much or more than our guests are. I'm to do the same and to feign delight when he serves something I hate, like fish with little bones in it. I really blew this a few years back when his friend Sue came for the night and he poached what might as well have been a hairbrush. Blew it to such an extent that after she left, I considered having her killed. "She knows too much," I said to Hugh. "The woman's a liability now, and we need to contain her." His friend Jane saw some ugliness as well. And though I like both her and Sue and have known them for going on 20 years, they fall under the category of Hugh's guests. This means that though I play my role, it is not my responsibility to entertain them. Yes, I offer the occasional drink, I show up for meals, but can otherwise come and go at my leisure, exiting sometimes as someone is in the middle of a sentence. My father has done this all his life. You'll be talking to him and he'll walk away, not angry, but just sort of finished with you. I was probably 6 years old the first time I noticed this. You'd think I'd have found it hurtful, but instead I looked at his retreating back thinking, "We can get away with that? Really? Yippee!" 3 of my sisters visited us in Sussex the Christmas of 2012, so Gretchen and Amy took a guest room each. Hugh and I gave Lisa the master bedroom and moved next door to the converted stable I use as my office. One of the things he noted during their stay was that, with the exception of Amy and me, no one in my family ever says good night. Rather, they just leave the room, sometimes halfway through dinner, and reappear the following morning. My sisters were considered my guests, but because there was a group of them, and they could easily entertain one another, I was more or less free to go about my business, not that I didn't spend time with them. In various pairings, we went on walks and bike rides, but otherwise they sat in the living room talking or gathered in the kitchen to study Hugh at the stove. I joined them for a while and then explained that I had some work to do. This meant going next door to the stable, where I'd switch on my computer and turn to Google, thinking, "I wonder what Russell Crowe is